Welcome. This is Ladies with Gumption, episode number 184, Judgment Call. I am Jessica, and I'm here with
May
and Tatiana.
We are the Ladies with Gumption. We recap BCTV in a flash. You can follow us on Twitter, where we live tweet episodes at DCTV Gumption, or you can also send us your feedback on to our email, ladieswithgumption@gmail.com. Or send us ass on Tumblr, ladieswithgumption.tumblr.com. You are listening to us either on Podomatic, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify. And if you are extra special, you are listening to us on Patreon. We thank you so much. For a mere $10 a month, we get these episodes 24 hours in advance, plus bonus episodes of premium shows such as HBO shows that are on HBO Max, like Doom Patrol, and you can hear a shit posting about Titans. You can also we talk about popular Netflix series. Umbrella Academy is coming up. We've done The Witcher. Recently, we've done Encanto, the movie Encanto. We've done The Batman, and then our most recent one is Turning Red, and coming up soon, we'll be doing Bridgerton Season 2. So as you can see, it's a wide variety of popular media. So if that is of interest to you, even if it's only of interest to you for 1 month, you know, little small $10 one time, cancel. And that's still helpful for us to keep our podcast up and running.
A little goes a long way.
Yeah, it pays for things like microphones, which I need to get an update soon. But so it's, you know, whatever you can contribute is very helpful. And you can find us on patreon.com/DCTVGumption. In the news, kind of a wild ride with the news. Ezra Miller, we talked about last week, their escapades in Hawaii, attacking people, being arrested, getting a restraining order against them. And all of this drama has caused WB to hold like a crisis meeting over what to do about Ezra and this Flash movie, which has already been pushed back into June of 2023. It was supposed to come out in November of 2022. So they pushed it out, I think, partly to give time to deal with the WB merger, which also went through this week, or they're finalizing the details. But all of this drama surrounding Ezra Miller and the fate of the Flash movie has caused fans to petition for Grant to be the Flash in the DCEU, which, while I understand the sentiment, I'm going to have to, like, decline, because I feel like he can't even lead his own CW show, let alone a DCEU movie franchise. But what do you guys think of the Ezra Miller WB situation? Is WB trying to move too little too late? Because, you know, they did have another confrontation with a fan in 2020 before the production even got started on the movie, when they choked that fan in Greenland. I think it was in Greenland or Iceland or something. But what do you guys think of the whole situation and, you know, the nostalgia for Grant to transition to DCEU?
We definitely should have seen the warning signs before the filming took place. And what we've heard from recent, like, updates or reports were that Ezra did have meltdowns on set, although they weren't violent. They lost it on set or whatever several times. So I feel like it should have been evident that there were behavioral issues, and they should have corrected it or done something about it long before now. However, I also feel like the Flashes are out at this point, that they could just go to rehab and then call it a comeback story when they're done. People will probably have forgotten by then, just like they forgot about the choking out of the fan before that.
Mm-hmm.
As for Grant, I don't know. I don't think it's that he can't lead it. I think it's that he's over it now. You know, like, if this had happened 5 years ago, I bet he would have jumped all over that and he would have been fabulous. But now I feel like he's like,
yeah.
Yeah, I feel the same way about Grant. He's just,
I feel like if it was a couple years ago, I would be like, hell yeah, but, you know.
Yeah, if this was, like, season 4 or 5, even maybe like the beginning of 6. I'm like, yeah, that's fine. But I don't know. he does feel like really checked out and is kind of like there doing his job and not really invested in it at all. So I don't think it would be a good idea. Plus, you know, TV fans have had almost 9 seasons of him. So it's like maybe a little
bit. Yeah, I would want someone new. Someone fresh.
Yeah, although, I mean, I don't think, like, let's be honest, I don't think they're going to refilm the entire thing.
Yeah.
Worst case scenario, they're just going to drop it on.
Yeah, just drop it on HBO Max and call it a day.
And best case scenario will be the comeback story, like I said.
Or they'll just reboot it again and be like, surprise, here's your new Flash, you know. Flash from Multiverse Earth.
Yeah, they add a random scene at the end where a new Flash.
Yeah. They could do that. They could recast in secret, and then at the end of the Flash movie, it's like, surprise!
Recast because it's like, there's so many other Flashes besides Barry Allen. They can do Bart.
Exactly. They could have Iris. Anyway. Iris could be like, oh, hey, Wally! At the very end, the tag at the end. And the next thing you just start Wally. You don't even talk about where Barry went.
True. Elsewhere, on back over on the CTV side, the Legends of Tomorrow and Batwoman writers' rooms are doing everything they can to push for a renewal of their season. Still haven't heard anything, which is kind of, you know, worrying definitely at this point if you are a fan of either of those shows. I know that Batwoman season 3 dropped on HBO Max this past weekend. So if you have HBO Max and you want to give it some views, please do. I think Legends is planning like a renew Legends Twitter trend. The writers' room is doing that. So I'm a little partial to one over the other coming back. But definitely if you're a fan of either shows, you can participate in those things to kind of, you know, get an answer one way or the other. Also, Batwoman and Legends, their comics for the comic book event, shared multiverse, whatever, dropped. And I think we got an ask on Tumblr saying, you know, how the Batwoman comic, Lena Luthor guest starred in that comic. And apparently she was in it a lot and probably took over a lot of the plot that could have been handled by other actual, like,
very weird
past. What are you saying, Tassie?
Oh, it's just a very weird.
Yeah. It was, you know, I think May asked, like, why is she in there? It's like, because Natalie Abrams wanted her in there. But yeah, I haven't read the story, though. But
the same one to, like, cross over to Batwoman of all the Supergirl characters, anyway.
I feel like it had something to do with mentioning Kara, name dropping Kara, something like that. But yeah, an interesting choice to cross over to Batwoman. Also, in the DCTV era, Candace just recently had a Q&A on her Instagram earlier today. And there were some curious things that she did answer. One is that first, someone asked if she's coming up for season 9. She said that she doesn't know yet. So, you know, if your will to watch The Flash and continue to watch The Flash is hinging on Candace being in it, then you are still waiting because her deal is not signed yet. That's one thing. And then someone also asked her, like, you know, word on the street is you and Grant hate each other. That's why y'all don't film on silent scenes. And she's like, LOL, what? Like, Grant and I are fine. So if you're also worried about that, according to Candace, she and Grant are just fine. And then what else? Season finales have been announced for Naomi, which will be a 2-hour season finale on June the 21st. Is that right?
I think it was like on May 28th, right?
Superman and Lois and The Flash are in June. Mm-hmm. Naomi is earlier. And it's a 2-hour. Scrolling to find. Oh, Superman and Lois is on the 21st, and then the Flash season finale is on the 29th.
Naomi's May 10th.
May 10th. 2-hour finale for Naomi on May 10th. So mark your calendars. And then in unrelated DC news, The Witcher season 3 started filming. So if anybody likes The Witcher, then hooray for that.
I'm on season 2.
To catch
up.
I'm so behind.
What?
Yeah, I know.
My gosh.
Hey, sometimes it
this
happens.
This is why I rely on our Patreons to, like, push me to, like, finish.
Exactly. Make you watch things. I love that for you.
Anywho, we only have The Flash, so we get to have all of our, you know, impassioned thoughts and things that we wish there was less of.
As many thoughts as we wish.
Yes. So to take us on this journey of reckless behavior, it's going to be Tatiana.
It will be me. And what I will say about it is that the episode was indeed called Reckless. And in it, Barry is unnerved by Iris calling him over to tell him, hey, guess what? Everything is terrible, but I'm still going to do what I'm going to do, and you're just going to be cool with that. So then he's like, let me go and take care of my team. But then his team, namely Frost, is like, what if I recklessly court danger with my mother while trying to stop the Black Flame, a creature about which we continue to know nothing other than it likes to take on the voice and or face of loved ones who have died. And therefore, we do not know why it is after Frost. Unless, I guess, maybe he was trying to be Frost's dad, or it just was bothering her. I don't know. But anyway, so he freaks out about that. Joe makes him realize it's actually kind of about Iris. Barry, I guess, decides to let everyone just do what they're going to do. And then Frost decides to be smart, thanks to some of Caitlin's advice, and not get her mom killed or herself killed. So they do not catch the Black Flame by attempting to do whatever they were attempting to do that I did not pay attention to. However, they do catch the team feels. Congratulations to them. Meanwhile, Iris tries to help Tanya reunite with her mother, gives her some kind but probably poor advice that, like, I'm 100% sure your mom totally loves you and it's going to work out. thankfully, though,
only in TV.
It did work out. Mom was like, my God, I just want you to have a better life. And Tanya's like, I didn't. And mom's like, I'm so sad about that, but let's hug. Sue is badass and awesome and there. But then Iris's eyes start glowing green and she accidentally, I don't know what she does. Did she kill the mom? Did she send her to another dimension? Did she send her back in time? We don't know, but it is terrible. Also terrible, Caitlin is just chilling at home thinking Frost is playing tricks on her. But no, it is Ronnie's voice coming out of Black Flame. And apparently, according to the promo, she's just going to believe that's Ronnie, even though we already had a whole episode where we knew that that was not the person, and it was actually the meta pretending to be someone. But
then
whatever.
That episode, too. So,
I guess no one told her about it. They were like,
she's been on, like, wine country tours and whatever she's doing.
It's so funny how different her dates with Marcus are compared to, like, Frost and Mark or whatever, however, Marcus, Mark, whatever.
Yeah.
Going, like, base jumping. He's like, we're going to a wine tour.
that's character, I don't know what, not development, but they're telling us something about those characters.
Character was directed,
directed by Kelly Cyrus, written by Jess Carson. What sparked joy?
Iris's plot. I like that we got a little bit more of it and that the scenes weren't, like, super short. Her immediately calling Mary as soon as she realized that bad news is bad news for her time sickness. With Dion and him are kind of like, we didn't really get too much of an explanation, but it was still nice that we had, like, a moment. I feel like we've been deprived for so long that just them, like, sitting in the same room together and Barry just immediately, he didn't even put on his Flash suit. He's just like, I will, his Flash suit. He just, like, showed up, like, what's wrong? And then their little talk and kiss and even, like, a little cheek rub. So it's like, oh, that is all that was required. It's so sad.
The bar is so low.
The bar is, like, crumbs, I will take them. So that was really nice in general. And, you know, even though part of this will be my dislike section, you know, I was, I guess, continuing to be like, no, you must save the city first, even though that does not spark joy all the time, but you know, she's a selfless queen and she will make sure that Central City is protected before she is, especially since like, she's like, we don't really know. It's like waiting for test results. You're like, you know, go back to work or whatever, because we don't really know what's going to happen yet. So as soon as something does happen, then we can actually act on it. So that made sense. I continue to like her and Sue together. In general, I like just the fact that like Sue's so rich. She's like, I'm going to call, you know, the board of directors because my uncle's on it. Oh my God, so convenient.
I swear I thought it was like a fake call. I thought she was doing like, you know, like it was another like paperweight thing where she was just bluffing. But then she handed her the phone. I was like, oh, you know an Uncle Leroy?
Yeah. I was like, damn, Sue. You know, using her, I guess, her money for good.
Yes. Come on, rich bitch.
We love that. Exactly. And I love them both still being there for Tinya and, you know, that whole conversation with Iris talking about her own trauma with her mom and not getting enough time with her and kind of like explaining her feelings of a lot of things like sadness, grief, anger, but also like a love she had for her mother despite everything. So that was a really nice conversation. We got to see a little bit, hear a little bit more about Iris's experiences with her mom and also kind of like tying in with Tinya and then the whole mother theme in general with like Frost and Tannhauser and whatnot. So that kind of worked really well. And even like the final conversation with Tinya, because I just felt like so bad for her. I was like, I don't know what's going to happen to this girl, but I just want her to be at home with her mom because she, you know, her life's been rough. So that was, just a sweet moment before, you know, it all got a little bit crazy. I do like, I guess I will say if I had to say a like on this plot, it would be that Frost was actually being self-sacrificing and that she was willing to throw herself, she was willing to be the bait to catch a villain. And I think that shows she's come a long way from when she was just like, number one, me, all the time, and all her previous acts. So that was really nice to see. And then Joe's talk with Barry, because I feel like Joe's typically very intuitive when it comes to Barry and giving him the little talk about like what's actually on his mind was nice, because I didn't want the episode to end without somebody talking about what's going on with Iris, because you know someone has to care. and at least these two, the two most important men in her life, do. So that was nice.
I'm just thinking about how we're gonna have to give Frost Lady's Gumption of the Week. But before that, I will say that it sparked a lot of joy, but there was a general lack of Cecile. You know, if for once, yeah, a writer understand that when Joe leaves, Cecile leaves with him, and then we don't see her again. So I was like, yeah, why do I feel less frustrated? And it's because she's not in the plot, and she's not being forced into other people's plots. So that was great. More of that, please. As you know, and I also like that they actually just actually remembered that, you know, Joe and Cecile should be a unit, and therefore their plot should go together, even if it's off screen, especially if it's off screen. So, yay for that. I did like Carla Tannhauser's interactions with Frost, exploring that dynamic, because I thought it was like, I was a little like low-key surprised that Frost called her mom. Like I feel like whenever we had them last, there was, you know, an understanding, but you know, we haven't really seen that dynamic. We've seen a lot of like Caitlin with Carla, but not Frost and Carla, and exploring what that dynamic actually looks like, if it's supposed to be like a little awkward, you know, or how that kind of works. So it was interesting how Frost was trying to be proactive in the situation and one that she thought to go to Dr. Tannhauser, and how they had kind of like a, you know, even if it was both, they're both being a little bit reckless and using like science and experimenting and not really focusing on what the consequences could be if something goes wrong. I thought that they had like an interesting dynamic. And I think that the themes of motherhood, you can kind of get them in all the different little plots. and how they kind of worked together. So I thought that was generally pretty good, the way that Jess kind of crafted that throughout. I obviously, opening up again, like the week before, had the open extended scene of Iris in the time sinking storyline. And I like that we had that again, this time, like a direct pickup, because that was such a, like a dramatic kind of cliffhanger to end on the previous episode that something is not right. It was good that we got to pick up where we left off. And it also, like, as annoying as it was that he didn't run to Coast City, I guess they had to do that so that she could call him. He ran over this episode, which just kind of proves they could have done it before. But, you know, the fact that he did run over, he was concerned. He did have that kind of worried and protective Barry that we haven't. And, you know, the fact that it was a scene that lasted longer than 30 seconds, and, you know, part of it was just Barry and Iris by themselves, just kind of reinforced how much we miss this dynamic and how nice it is to have them be worried about each other. I think, well, I guess I'll talk about it in my dislikes, the way that they said goodbye and had the plot device to get Barry back to Central City. But just the fact that he offered to, you know, come up to Coast City to stay with her and all of that kind of stuff is really nice. The domestic West Allen, I think, that we've been asking for a long time. West Allen kissed, of course, and it was not a flashback. It was not, it was not in front of a team or anybody else. So I think people that were like skeptical of it, you know, really were relieved that this isn't like, it feels like an actual kiss. Whether it's the only kiss of this season, I have no idea, but at least it was a nice one.
It is. It's so sad.
You think it is?
Yeah, because I don't remember them kissing through Armageddon, like, at all.
Well, we still have episodes left of this season.
Yeah, she went to the future.
So far.
Yeah. Yes. Okay. I was like, damn, who told you?
It wouldn't be so far-fetched to say that it could be the only one, right? But, you know.
Sure. Yes, exactly. I really also loved, I wish there was more of it, but I think the way that, you know, the plot A to plot B that they're trying to push forward in this episode, you only could use so many scenes. I wish there was more, but I think for where they wanted to end the episode, that's just how it kind of like laid out. But while we had them, they were nice, juicy scenes. I liked Iris and continue like Iris and Sue's dynamic. I think they play off each other really well. And Natalie Dreyfus did a couple of interviews where she talked about her and Candace's dynamic and how they bring that into Sue and Iris. And, you know, she mentioned how it was just really nice to have these two women that have come into their own with all of their kind of history and trauma that they went through to make them who they are. And here they are helping this other young lady who is having like a difficult relationship with her mother, you know, heal those kind of wounds and kind of like pay it forward with young women down the line. I like that Iris actually, since we were talking about mothers and motherhood, I'm glad that Jess remembered Iris's mother and that storyline and the relationship, and that Iris had a chance to really express how she was feeling with her mom. And because we didn't really even get much exploration on those feelings when we had that story in that season. So the fact that we were able to call back to that and also get more of Iris's point of view on that situation and how she's using that story to, as you know, Tati said, you know, put a rose-colored tint on what could happen with Tinny and her mom, I thought was really nicely used in that situation. The shock of Iris accidentally like dusting the mom was like a good gasp. That was like the most interesting thing in the episode because it was so unexpected. So that was great. I agree. Joe talking to Barry and kind of bringing up that Barry's worry is not necessarily all about Team Flash because he still has Iris in the back of his mind. So like you said, them continuing to, you know, at least reference Iris being in Coast City, I thought was good. I think when Barry, in the beginning of the episode, when Team Flash was having their little powwow, and I think it was also mentioned again about her being in Coast City. So, you know, even though she's in a separate storyline, she's still alive. So it's nice to like reference, oh, Iris is here and that's why she can't be here, you know, to connect the storylines, that kind of thing. Yeah, I think there was one like nice interaction between Tannhauser and Chester. She offered him a job because she pays better, which her colleague Team Flash broke from volunteers. Accurate, but you know, that was fun.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely agree that it was very nice to check back in with Iris and the time sickness and, you know, get a little bit more clarification on what it is that is going on and how it's going to branch out and be a bigger issue. Because before, like, her just missing patches of time made it seem like it's going to be some kind of, like, memory loss situation for her or something, you know? But instead it's like she's causing this vortex in time, and apparently poor Tanya's mom is getting lost in it. So that definitely ups the stakes.
And all the furniture at that adoption agency.
Yep, and makes it more urgent. So I like that. I also like that Barry was actively concerned about it, and that we get to see him really wrestle with the notion that Iris could be in danger and that he can't do anything about it because he has to let her, you know, be her selfless self and go on and do what she needs to do. So it's nice to have him and Joe have a conversation about Iris, even though it would be nicer to have Joe have a conversation with Iris, but that's okay. Overall, I did like the dynamic between Tanya and Sue and Iris. I like that we get to see her actively, you know, trying to do some investigation, trying to like knock down doors or whatever and get people to talk to them. And it was fun to see Sue come in with the save and be like, oh, well, my uncle or my godfather, whatever it was, is actually the chairman. So like, why not? I'm going to, you know, step in and get this done right now. Plus, it was funny to see the reaction of the gatekeeper when she realized that there was someone above her here, was above her now. So all of that was very enjoyable, even though it was very, like, I'm so short. Like, that's what the mom wanted, and she never even looked it up, and never looked up at her daughter, and everything turned out, you know, it wasn't right. Great, but, you know, she didn't know that, whatever. Like, all that was like, okay, sure. But it was nice to see Iris pull from her own experience and share that experience with Tanya. And then it was very nice to see Tanya and her mom reunite, even though Iris's prophecy accidentally came true because she only had a couple minutes with her before she was taken away. but yeah, it was a shocking ending. And it was a shocking ending on both fronts, too. Like, to hear Ronnie's voice again was very exciting. And I look forward to seeing how that's going to affect Caitlin, especially because we've seen her be, even when she's trying to go all in with this other guy, we're not really, you know, seeing exactly. We're not seeing much of that. So it feels like, aside from the fact that, like, clearly the show doesn't care, also based on Frost's conversation with her, like, why aren't you opening up to him about this if you're going to go all in? We can see that she's kind of one foot out the door, even though she's trying to move forward.
Well, so, to her point, like, does he really need to know? Like, we need one more person to know about Team Flash, really?
I mean,
that door can stay closed.
That is, like, that is accurate, but you know how the Flash rolls, so they think it's important. So we're gonna see what path she takes when this Black Flame Ronnie emergence is resolved. I also will add my voice to the chorus of being glad that Cecile was not around. That's perfectly fine by me. I mean, she was there, but not as there as she usually is, not as present as she tends to be. It was nice to see Carla again, if only for the sake of continuity and world building, and to, you know, kind of tie up loose ends, or at least come back to the fact that she also has her condition, and that it helps, it may either hinder communication previously, but also can help her grow closer to Frost now and actually let her know that she sees her as a daughter. And for vice versa, we got to see Frost put other people and her own well-being ahead of whatever she thinks like the short-term outcome that she wants in the moment. So she's learning, you know, critical thinking skills and long-term planning, and we love that for her. What did not spark joy?
Oh, I just remembered the time at, like, long ago when Comic-Con was still a thing, and I asked Danielle if we were ever going to pick up the thread of her mom having powers. And I guess it was today!
You did it!
Seasons late, but yay,
so many seasons later. Yeah, I guess that is one of my dislikes. It's just that in general, it took too long to pick up with Carla and see what like she's been up to and to talk about her own metagene and things like that. Because like, I think the last time it was like the end of season five or something. I don't even remember. Mm-hmm. But it was something that I remembered as soon as I saw it. But then it's just, I'm sure most people needed those silly flashbacks that they keep giving us to remind everybody that, yes, she had powers. So that was like a little bit annoying just because it feels like on the show that plots are unfolding now and it's just like picking up things from the past that don't necessarily need to be a thing, you know, in general. And I don't just mean like with Carla, I mean like Ronnie or anybody else, you know, just like kind of going back into the well of seasons past to give us a current story is frustrating because it, to me, it says that the writers have run out of ideas to do. And just like the whole plot of this episode, like from Frost coming into contact with the Blackfyre was, I know they tried to make sense of it and I tried to understand it, but I felt like it was really contrived to give Frost a story. And it like she took up too much screen time. There was a lot of interesting stuff going on with Iris and her time sickness, and now that we're finally kind of getting into it, it just feels like they're stalling and they just keep going back to a storyline that I personally don't care about that much. And even like the lack of urgency, it's like, oh, well, there's something wrong with Iris. There's nobody that's like freaking out over the fact that, I don't know, she has something called time sickness and who knows what could happen with it or whatever. It's not like season three, Iris is going to die freaking out that I wanted to happen. And so it just kind of like brings down the momentum of the entire episode and the entire storyline so far, really, because it's like we're getting too little of it over the course of like these last two episodes. And in general, I feel like they could have just spared us and given us the rest of Tinya's storyline last episode instead of giving us other scenes and done something else this episode, you know? Because it doesn't feel like we could have had more of Iris, Sue, and Tinya just hanging out, looking for mom, doing other things, talking more. Because again, there was too much Frost. And just even like Caitlin coming back and going into like yelling mode at them, is just doesn't feel like she's had any true character growth over the last several seasons. And it's just always back to the same conversation, the same kind of one note thing. And even like tying Frost's being like self-sacrificing to Iris also thinking of the people in Central City, it was just a strange thing because Frost is usually like the two characters can't be compared to each other at all, and I thought that was a reach for them to be having that conversation. And I just would have liked more of, you know, Barry talking things out with Joe instead of just like it looked in his body language that he was just down about the Iris situation, but I feel like we could have gotten more dialogue about it because if it wasn't just the team stuff and he really did want to be in Coast City, like we could have had more of a, you know, mentally warring with yourself moments for him because he just felt very passive this episode.
One thing that like kind of stuck out to me watching the episode is I just feel like Danielle doesn't even bother differentiating between Caitlin and Frost anymore. Like, it doesn't really feel, they don't feel like two different characters. It just feels like Danielle doing acting with two different makeup looks on. And I feel like they try to tell the differences more than she's actually able to show it. You know, I still don't believe like Frost has rhythm or likes rap music. It's just something that they've added to her character that doesn't really fit, or, you know, the fact that, you know, like she's like artistic or whatever. The whole tell about, you know, I'm going to the wine country, or I'm going skydiving, or, you know, there's just like a lot of telling, and I just don't feel like it actually feels like two distinct characters. So, you know, that's just kind of like a general kind of acting thing. I feel like there should be more to differentiate Frost other than the fact that she looks different from Caitlin. When I don't really feel like that comes through enough. I also felt like, I agree with you, May, that it felt like lopsided in the fact that there was so much focus on the Frost plot and not the time sickness plot, which I think, you know, most people are more interested in. And I was saying in my likes that, you know, seeing where they ended with that, there was a very strict, short, narrow period of A to B that Iris starts here and ends here, that if we add another scene, even as entertaining as it would be to just see Iris and Sue on screen, what else was there to do? The, you know, point one is getting to the name, the point two is going to see the mom, and then she disappears. So, you know, it's kind of like I wish it was more, at least at minimum, it's going to be like a fresh episode, more of a 60-40 split, but it is what it is, I think. I also thought the beginning of the West Allen scene, I was talking about the kind of clunky way of getting Barry to go back to Central City instead of staying in Coast City, which is normally what he would have done, through Iris telling him, like, it's okay, don't worry about me, city first, all that kind of stuff. I felt like that was clunky. I felt like they didn't have to do it that way. I felt like, you know, he could have stayed the night and then, you know, maybe Sue and Tinia go off on their own. Like, I'll take Tinia to the adoption agency and you stay here with Barry. And then there's like a alert that something's going on in Central City. And she's like, oh, don't worry about me, go Barry. And then he leaves. And then she goes to join Tinia and Sue. I felt like that could have been, like a smoother comparison to the Frost storyline as well. Cause I know they were trying to connect those two and it didn't really feel like a perfect fit. But you know, the idea of like Barry being like, Iris stay, and Iris being like, Iris go, would have like had a stronger comparison to Barry being like, Frost no and Frost yes, you know, that kind of thing. Cause I felt like I get the intent of what they're trying to do, of what Jess is trying to write, but it could have been a little smoother, I think, and avoid one Iris again pushing away help when she never gets it in the first place. It's one of the rare times where Barry was offering to stay for her, and one of those times when you want Iris to be selfish and yes, stay for me. And they didn't do that. So we could have avoided that. And then, you know, maybe people would have believed the whole, if I know Iris, Frost says, you know, I think a little bit better.
And it's also not like Barry was doing much in his plot anyway. And it's not like Barry was doing much.
No, he was just like complaining and worrying. Like, yeah. Like, you know, when he kicked himself off of the team and the whole Frost plot, he could have gone to Coast City. Like, mm-hmm. There's nothing stopping him. So he was just like moping, and he could have like started that off in Coast City and then came back and just been like, I don't know what to do. So, yeah. Allegra is a snitch. Why would you call Caitlin? Caitlin came in hot. You know, she came off kind of like a bitch. Like, Allegra is a snitch and Caitlin was a bitch. And to like both her mom and to Frost. And yeah, it was team too much for me. I feel literally is like one of those memes where like someone's just like yelling and the other person's just like dazed and confused. Like, I don't understand. Like, why are we yelling at me right now? But yeah, she, you know, and it's part of her character personality that she's just like super uptight. But I feel like that was not the energy that we needed in that moment. So that was not a lot of joy. I felt like I fell out for Frost and for Carly, because Carly caught some stray bullets as well. Dr. Tannhauser did, from her daughter. So I was like, damn, who called you and why?
Who are you going to call on? Not Caitlin. That's not
Caitlin. Please not Caitlin. That's it.
Well, I don't disagree with any of y'all's lack of joys. Definitely Danielle was not splitting the difference between her characters all that much. Like, the writing is kind of there, except that so much of it is off screen. It literally is just like, hey, I do this and you do that. Mm-hmm. My God, let's sing a song about our differences. But her performance does not particularly help. And it's very, but of course, to be fair, this is like a criticism towards her, but everyone's pretty low energy on the show now. It just feels like no one really is that invested in being there at the moment. So if anything, that has made her performance improve, because she's not overacting. She's now underacting. Good job, Danielle. But aside from that, I also thought it was a little bit forced to start off with, like, oh, you don't even see Frost as your daughter. You see her as a science experiment. All the way to, not only do I see you as my daughter, but you see me as your mother, and we're going to choose each other and ourselves over this mission. Like, I was like, they were doing, like, a lot of work for this dynamic in one episode, yeah, when we have barely gotten to see Carla. That's or fair. what the Caitlin's and Frost's mean to her. So,
and I also thought it was weird when she almost died in the middle of the thing because she didn't want to stop. I'm like, how are you even that powerful enough for you to be like the deciding factor of whether this mission was continuing or not?
Right. Yeah. It was. I don't even know what they were doing. I don't know what the goal was other than to like get rid of Black Flame. But I'm like, I don't know what Black Flame is or really does other than murder people. So I'm not sure how what you are doing is stopping and just like making it colder. Is that what it is? You're just freezing it? Is that, I don't know.
I guess whatever, like, because both of their powers are for like cryogenic, whatever based.
So they were just trying to douse the flame, I guess, but it was not working well enough. So whatever. I still feel, okay, like, I'm very annoyed by the fact that they did Ronnie now, because I think putting the Chester episode first really messed with the progression of things. Like, if you want to actually make people believe that this could be Ronnie, then he should have been the first one. Like, that should have been the first thing to happen. And then there's a reason for Caitlin to genuinely believe it's Ronnie, and, like, she's going to save him before learning that, actually, that's not Ronnie. Like, this is what that meta does. Instead, we already know that. So Caitlin is going to look stupid. And also, it's not exciting for us. It's just like, okay, well, cool. We got a flashback of Ronnie. We heard his voice. Yay! It would have been so much cooler if we had actually gotten to see that meta A call to Caitlin in the next episode become Ronnie, you know, so that we think it could actually be Ronnie, but then it turns out to be a lie and it just wants to, like, eat Caitlin or whatever it is. Also, still don't know why the meta was after Frost first, especially if Frost has the power. I guess, like, it didn't really do anything like what it's going to do to Caitlin to Frost. And Frost can, presumably.
Maybe he was looking for Caitlin and found Frost. And he's like, what are you doing?
He was like, close enough. Maybe. I don't know. Also seems like, why is it specifically after? I guess it just wants to eliminate, like, Team Flash people. And it can't eliminate the Flash. But I just don't feel like we know enough about the meta or its motivations to really be invested in its process and, like, what it's trying to do. So all of that is kind of a flop to me. That being said, you know, I wish that Joe had spoken to Iris as well so we could have a little bit of concern. Maybe if they had been
a little underwhelmed. Like, you know, you could be a little bit more concerned, sir, that your daughter has a sickness.
He's like, of course I'm worried too, but
what are you gonna do?
Exactly. What are you gonna do? Who knows? I clearly am not a concerned father for any of my children. Who the hell knows what Molly is doing? I haven't seen Jenna in years, and Iris clearly could just, you know, I could take her or leave her, apparently. So anyway, not a fan of that. Also agree that it is, like, fake for Barry to just go off and be like, okay, you know what? You're right, Iris. You can just stay here and I'll go back to Central City. Thanks for being so selfless and wonderful. I read a review. I was like going through, like looking for a recap or whatever the episode or, you know, a synopsis. And I came across a review that was basically like, I don't know if Candace doesn't want to be on the show anymore, or if they just don't think that Iris can carry a story. But like the way that they're doing this is just so obvious that they just don't want Iris to be part of the main story. And I agree. Like, I'm like, why? Like, we know Candace can carry a story. So I don't know if it's literally.
What review was this? That can go
it was Game Rant.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So I'm like, we know that she can do it. I don't know if she doesn't. I don't know. But it's. I feel like it seeps into the way that it's written. Like, in previous seasons, we've been like, oh, Iris should have gotten more. But at least what was there was, like, could stand on its own, I guess. Whereas here it feels like it very much is like Iris has to be somewhere else. We can have the 1 30-second scene with Barry and then we got to go. You know what I mean? Last time was Zoom. This time you'll get a kiss and then they won't touch for 6 months and just deal with it. But I mean, not that I'm saying like, oh, she and Grant have a problem. I don't think that's what it is. I just feel like it's very much like it's like they're in a time crunch or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's super weird.
And they're like drip feeding it. Like, you know how we used to have a season where it felt like you had multiple fillers and then boom, you're at the mm-hmm. end of the arc. It felt like they were waiting to drop this other point.
Yeah.
It feels like that, but like focused on Iris's plot specifically.
Mm-hmm.
And the way that they're doing fillers, giving us a bunch of other storylines that we don't necessarily care about and not seeing her at all.
Yeah.
So she's not even part of the filler. She's just like gone.
Mm-hmm. It's very, very weird. Very weird. I don't know. I don't like it. But yeah, overall, I just feel like the show is just so uneven now. It's just really hard to to get too excited about any one thing. I do think that this was like good episode in terms of progressing what is going on with Iris' plot. And I'm excited to see what comes of now it's Ronnie. But I just feel like they kind of bungled the setup, and it could have been a lot more exciting if we had really done the groundwork with Black Flame first and not given away what its like MO is before we get to this. Mm-hmm. So there we go. Do we have feedback?
We do. So Sonia says, hey ladies, this episode was really good, not just because Wes Allen finally got to have a kiss, but yeah, it was mostly because of that. Anyways, I love how Iris called Barry and how quickly Barry got there and how worried he was over her time sickness. And seriously, y'all, Eric needs to write these kinds of scenes all the time. Why is it so hard for him? Well, he didn't write this one, so that's why it was easy, I guess. What the heck is happening with Iris' time sickness? Like, something about Iris herself is causing time to fracture around her. This can't be good, and hopefully Dion and Barry can figure out what it is and save her. I hate the show always making Iris as this strong Black woman who don't need no one trope. Instead of asking Barry to stay with her, it's such misogyny noir. I get that Barry needs to stay to protect Central City and whatnot, but what was stopping him from speeding Joe there to stay with Iris since Joe is retired and isn't really doing anything in Central City anyways? So why can't we ever get Joe and Iris scenes? Like how Dion was like, stay in one place, aka the hotel suite, and then Iris is like, that's cool, I already have someone to help in Coast City, and he's all like, fine, maybe the entirety of Coast City is fine. The only mention of Allegra even doing an inkling of her job is her tasking the other reporters to finding clues about Black Fire cases. And then Joe's like, you sound like Iris. I see why she left you in charge. And it's like, how is she in charge? She's literally doing nothing. If anything, she is like dollar store Iris. LOL. Love how Iris is like, oh, sorry. I thought it was so funny how that lady at the adoption agency is like, I can't do anything without permission from the board. And then literally Sue calls her phone, looks at her phone and calls her chair of the board, who's literally her uncle. And Iris is like, don't worry, you're just doing your job, to the worker, because yes, it's so true. She probably just wants to help all these adoptees with no contact on their records, which also is like, well, I don't want to get fired. I love that they finally gave let Iris grieve about her mother. Like, it's been 7 seasons, but we finally get to hear about her feelings about the situation, about being lied to, about almost not having the chance to say goodbye, etc. It's about time that they, I don't know why they never let her talk about her feelings. I can't believe they had Frost say, if I know Iris, like, when have they ever had any scenes together? I found myself liking the scene between Caitlin's mom and Frost and Caitlin, and thought Danielle for once did a good job playing both Frost and Caitlin. did I miss something, or did we always know Caitlin's mom had, like, it was seasons ago, Sonia, so you know, it was a blink if you missed it, but it was seasons ago. Laughed my ass off that everyone thought Frost had a death wish or whatever with how she wanted to be bait for the Black Flame, but Caitlin's mom is literally flatlining and she's like, it's fine, I'm fine, we're fine. And everyone's like, what? Pretty sure I've said this in some feedback before, but God, Caitlin's wallpaper in her apartment is fugly as hell. Didn't you say something about her wallpaper too, May?
Yes, I did. It's hideous. Her apartment is very nice, but her wallpaper is very hideous. Like, I don't understand what's going on there, but the rest of it's very beautiful.
She said, oh my God, Ronnie is back. Yay, Snowstorm was like my favorite couple other than Wes Allen. Holy shit, what was that end scene with Iris' time sickness and Tania's mom just being obliterated by those green things? Poor Tania finally got to see her mom again and find out that she did want to keep her, and now she's gone. So sad. I really hope she doesn't take it out on Iris. You know she will. As Iris really had no control over what would happen. Also love, at the start of the episode, Iris is all, Sue is here, she can help me. But with these end scenes, Sue didn't even know what was going on. Like, why didn't they even clue her into the time sickness stuff? Can't wait to see what happens next week with both Iris and her time sickness and Ronnie and Caitlin. And then Sonia also has Flash movie feedback. Or, you know, her thoughts on the situation in the DCEU, which I think that we will post on Tumblr to save some time.
Thank you, Sonia.
Thank you for sending that, and I'll post your thoughts. For Swara, Swara says, hello, ladies. So the only good parts of this episode, as expected, were those with Iris, Sue, and Tinia. While what's happening to Iris is indeed very worrying, it's also intriguing, and I wonder if it might have a connection to her being pregnant. I'm not really sure. But Candace continues to be the best performer on the show, and I hope Iris soon gets the help and cure she needs. Also, Sue has been absolutely wonderful on the show, as played by Natalie Dreyfus, and Tinia as played by Mika Abdallah. Hope her mom comes back. I'm also not sure what the endgame is for the season. I suppose that's a good thing, as I wanted more fragmented arcs and no more season big bads. I don't know. Feels weird. I absolutely do not care for the smelly freezer. Shout out to @AngelFireEast24 on Twitter for that. Family. Because I think AngelFireEast24 on Twitter called him the smelly freezer.
I love it.
He says, I literally fast-forwarded through those scenes on my screener. Oh, her mother's a meta now? Literally don't care. Oh, it's Ronnie? Big whoop. Sigh. Seriously? Barry was with Bloody Frost for this episode instead of his wife, who is clearly in a crisis. What fucking parallel does she have with Iris? The way that they try to include Frost Caitlin is so forced, and I can't wait to never have to think about either of them again. Go right off into the sunset with your respective boyfriends and leave us alone!
A year-long wine country retreat. Let's go.
And then finally, Anita says, hi ladies, I'm rushing to get this review. You got it in on time. Ooh, you're traveling internationally. Safe travels. But back to the main plot. That is a story about who matters, which is Iris. I'm digging the way that the deer show has been opening the show with her family. I'm digging the way that the deer show has been opening the show with her storyline lately. I sparked massive joy that when Iris found out what's going on with her time sickness, she called Barry first. But why the Star Labs distress beacon not show? Surely the West Allens can speed dial each other instead. We knew Barry would be by Iris' side in an instant, so for her to go through the rest of the episode tracking down Tinia's mother without her husband instead of investigating the time sickness wasn't that great. But The Flash wants to be a show that pours water into a bucket with a perforated bottom, so here we are. Loved Iris and Sue as a duo. It really helps to know powerful friends. So I cackled when Sue said, hey, my uncle's on the board that keeps this charity open. So can we get this lady's digits? I love her. She is such a great compliment to Iris, who charms people into respecting her so that she can get the scoop. We have to name that phenom of things disappearing after Iris touches them, because that is crazy. I love the pep talk she gave to Mia to face her mother. Look at Iris talking through her own mother-daughter issues without Cecile having to overstate and overact the obvious. Are we still in Armageddon? Joe read Barry a little, didn't he? You left your wife back in Coast City. And oop, indeed. I knew Iris was fracturing time around her, but for the entire office to disappear, for her to Thanos an entire person, this is one heck of a contagion. Fix it, show, because without Iris, and since we're never going to explore Cisco's feelings in all these years, I don't know what Barry's doing in Central City, and I hardly care. I've got to run and finish packing, ladies. Be safe. Thank you, Anita, and safe travels to wherever you're going.
Yeah, thank you.
Anita, vacation indeed.
And she's taking one.
Mm-hmm. Is that the end of our...
That is it. That is all.
All right. So, do we have predictions?
No.
I mean, I know I can feel it that Timmy is going to be like pissed, but is this anything or anyone that Iris touches now? Is that going to be like a deal? Mm-hmm. And then they're going to have to like bubble wrap or saran wrap her so she can't touch people.
That's a great question.
It'd be nice if she like accidentally touched like Cecile.
Maybe that's why. Maybe that's why he laughed when
that's,
I said
that's the theory. Because, I mean, obviously they'll come back at some point, you know, when we figure out where they went. But let's just test the theory, please. Although I feel like, you know, somehow she's going to, like, disappear herself, and so she's going to be gone for, like, 4 episodes.
Yeah.
That was the other thing, I think, in her Q&A that she did confirm. Like, girl, we know. But she is going to be MIA for 4 episodes.
Oh. 4 episodes?
Oh my god,
that's so many episodes.
That's a long time to hit pause on a very interesting story, too.
Yeah.
I hate it. Oh, wow.
The longest she's been gone. She'll be gone consecutively.
God.
So season 8 is very depressing.
Yeah, I don't like that. I don't like that at all. So do we have a Lady with Gumption of the Week, then?
I mean, I feel like this is designed to be a Frost thing.
Yeah.
Yes, I mean, there's not. Really
I mean, like, I'm not just like giving it to her because of whatever. Like, she did actually. She was proactive. Yeah. We're gonna have to talk through this. She was proactive, she had her hero hat on. So, and then she kind of learned, you know, towards the end, it's okay to care about your own well-being and the health, your own health. You know.
Yeah.
Above the mission, so
can't be mad.
It was gross. A lesson that Iris should have learned as well.
Exactly.
You know, care about yourself.
Parallel this shit. Let's parallel it.
So true. So true. Yeah. I mean, I think Frost. She went through a lot of stages there. She learned a lot and grew, and we got to see her develop her relationship with her kind of mom. So
yeah,
you know.
It's what it is. The better parts of that plot line. So yeah,
it works out. Yeah. Is that on that?
I think that's that on that.
Okay, well, thank you guys all for coming. Listen to the to Ladies with Gumption once again next week, same time. Is it still just going to be Flash?
Yes,
and then but it'll also be Bridgerton if you join us on Patreon. Feel free to send us feedback, ladieswgumption@gmail.com, ladieswgumption.tumblr.com, and you know, tweet us at DCTVGumption whenever you want. Thank you all, and good night.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.